Do you find yourself wondering at the end of the month, how can I work this hard and still be in debt? You're not alone. Half of Americans are concerned they'll never get out of debt. In fact, it takes 17 years of minimum payments to pay off the average credit card balance. And since credit card interest rates have shot up 47% in the last 2 years, it's a never-ending battle. The credit card and financial system is rigged against the consumer. It's designed to keep you in debt, and the high cost of living keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck, making it impossible to get out. That's the depressing news. Here's how to get out from under this. Done with Debt has created an innovative new strategy with one goal in mind: end your debt quickly and permanently. So how do they do it? Done with Debt starts by analyzing all the debt solutions you qualify for. Their savvy negotiators can get the credit card companies to stop charging interest. Then they can renegotiate what you owe. They get in your corner and stop those threatening calls and letters. But here's the game changer. Their experts use little-known hardship exceptions the loan companies don't want you to know about. Done with Debt searches out every possible solution to end your debt permanently. And they do it all without bankruptcy and without a loan. If you're in debt and feel like there's no escape, Done with Debt is your lifeline. Here's what you need to do. Before you make another payment or lose another night's sleep, go to donewithdebt.com. Answer a few easy questions and talk to one of their debt experts for free. You have nothing to lose. Their dedicated team is waiting to guide you through to financial freedom. Some debt solutions are time sensitive, so you need to hurry. Visit donewithdebt.com. Again, that's donewithdebt.com.
Debt. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Well, here's the truth. The system can trap you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans can make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And inflation can keep you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you may qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy, and without a loan. Done with Debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry, because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Get debt out of your life without bankruptcy and without a loan. Donewithdebt.com.
So it's like this. For-profit insurance controlling healthcare makes you sick. For-profit ratings-driven news makes you dumb. For-profit religion makes you spiritually empty. For-profit education makes you a debt slave. For-profit prisons make you less safe. For-profit politics makes you helpless. And for-profit presidents should make you impeach. Welcome once again. I'm John Fugelsang. Long time no talk. I'll explain, but it's great to be here. I do a show on Sirius XM satellite radio. I'm a comedian. One time on Bill Maher's show, David Duke said I hated myself because I was white. And I told him, no, I hate myself because I'm Catholic. And this is Sanity Cast, the political comedy podcast about not going completely batshit. How to fight back with facts, empathy, humor, and American culture at its best. The very fine art of giving a fuck. This is a show that believes depression is a disease, negativity is a habit. Sanity is the opposite of Hannity, and despair at this point is privilege. You don't get to be despondent. We need you in the game. It's been a while. I'm sorry. We had a couple of weeks off. I didn't plan it that way. There was a holiday. But things got kind of dodgy for me. I've been doing a lot of work and a lot of traveling and a lot of shows, and I haven't announced this on social media or my radio show, but I'll tell you guys. You can consider this a really unpleasant exclusive. I was having fevers and like incredible exhaustion for a couple of months. I was in LA doing a big showcase in June, and like I was throwing up and I had a fever on stage. It was horrible. And I thought, I'm just fighting off a flu or I'm lazy. finally, 4th of July, I had incredibly swollen neck glands. It was totally unpleasant. I mean, I do this damn keto adjacent diet to have a jawline, and instead I look like Trump in profile. I have mono. I didn't even get it the fun way. The doctor thinks my kid was a carrier. I don't know. But because irony is my religion, I got mono on International Kissing Day. That night, I tried to watch Chernobyl, and a fuse blew, and I got Epstein-Barr at a time when the two most loathsome men in America happened to be named Epstein and Barr. And on this episode, number 7 of Sanity Cast, we have news and deeply questionable analysis, a master debater segment on talking points you need about immigration and the border crisis with your deeply racist loved ones who can't spell your. Some music and film that could help talk you off a ledge. The next installment of Ask a Trump Defender. Simple questions for the Trump apologist in your life. Because, friends, you know this. We live in the era of what-the-fuck fatigue. You know, remember things used to happen once at a time? Now it all happens at once. It's been a while, but since our last show, we had a weekend where the president, in one weekend, sucked up to a dictator who murders reporters in Russia, then sucked up to a dictator who hacks up reporters who are American residents from Saudi Arabia, and it peaked with him sucking up to a dictator who murders Americans and then sends them home to die. We live at a time when Donald Trump, who is the president for 29 months, is accepting all your sycophantic praise for his 121 months of private sector job growth. This is a time when Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath to be on the Supreme Court. Neil Gorsuch is on Supreme Court because Obama was denied an up or down vote on his nominee. Roberts and Alito are there because Florida has an illegal ballot and stopped a recount. Clarence Thomas is there because America doesn't care about sexual harassment. They're all there because of cheating. And this month, they all signed off on rigged elections. Yes, gerrymandering. And we've already forgotten, right? Because it was like 19 what-the-fucks ago. The gerrymandering ruling from the Supreme Court proves that the politicians who say they hate government actually love government. What they hate is democracy. This is a time when the number one restaurant is McDonald's, the number one news channel is Fox, the number one magazine is People, antidepressants make you suicidal, dandruff shampoo dries out your scalp, and birth control makes you not want to have sex. At a time when, like a millionaire at birth, New York City landlord, casino bankruptor, reality TV character, brand licensor, lord of birthers, defrauder of online university students, boaster of sexual assaults, defender of Confederate monuments, president who is 73 years old, still doesn't understand how apostrophes work. So, here's a little news segment I call, Really, It's Not You. Because it's comforting to realize, it's not you, the rest of the world's crazy. In the time I was gone and over the holiday, we had pretty much the parade, the sneaker, and a pedophile. These were the three things that divided us. First, Independence Day. Did you have a good one? Did you enjoy it? It's always awkward. I want to apologize for America. When I said you were a cancer, I was just talking about your zodiac sign. Happy July 4th. And we had a taxpayer-funded campaign event and propaganda ceremony, a 4th of July parade for a 4th of a penis president. I give Trump a pass on his speech where he talked about the airports, because people make mistakes, you know, that they in the Revolutionary War, they secured the airports. That's just, you know, I mean, Obama said we had 57 states. Once in a while, you just figure, okay, it's a mistake. And then Trump had to blow it and come out and say he only said that because the teleprompter went down. Dude, you could just say you made a mistake, but instead you said the teleprompter went down. So when you're speaking off the cuff, you say that. Just blame it on Stephen Miller. That's what you're going to do at The Hague in a few years anyway. I think the best part of that whole speech was when Trump called the 13 original colonies the most just and virtuous republic ever conceived. So please don't ever tell him about slavery or segregation or what happened to the Indians, all right? Because if this guy gets empathy, he will totally lose his base. Now, here's one thing to remember whenever Donald Trump talks about the military. You ready? He faked a disability so five other guys would go fight in this place. He stole money from U.S. vets with a fake online university. He insulted prisoners of war. He insulted Gold Star parents. He lied to the troops and said he'd given them their first pay raise in 10 years and their biggest pay raise ever. Those are both lies. He lied to vets that he had given them the Vets Choice Plan that was signed by Obama in 2014. He said he knew more than the generals. He said if he ordered soldiers to commit war crimes, they would do it. He said he had more training militarily than a lot of the guys that go into the military. He also told his second wife he would cut off child support if their daughter ever joined the U.S. Armed Forces. And he used troops as props in a parade for himself. Okay, remember all those things when you're dealing with your right-wing loved ones, because pretending Donald Trump respects the military is like pretending Donald Trump is Christian. Now, for a couple of days, we had the controversy with Colin Kaepernick and the new Nike sneaker. And this one I get in trouble on, because there's a whole lot of I guess as Moses would call it, rank fuckery going on here. They had the Betsy Ross flag, the original flag of the 13 colonies. Okay, and Kaepernick apparently asked Nike to not run with that particular flag design on the back of a new sneaker for the 4th of July. And oh boy howdy, people who love getting offended got really offended. And I just want to say a couple things about it, okay? It was never a protest of Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross, by the way, probably never even really designed the original flag. Kaepernick was making a statement that the America of the 50-star flag is morally superior to the America of the 13 stars. Colin Kaepernick has never actually protested our flag, our troops, or our anthem. He protested police brutality and racism. And we all know there's a lot of people in this country more upset about protests of police brutality and racism than they're upset about police brutality and racism. And I had to think about it, because I had never thought of this. It never occurred to me that the original flag might be offensive. And I'm here to learn. I want to be open. I think woke is a journey, not a destination. So, look, I admire Colin Kaepernick, but here's a point of view that I don't hear expressed too much that I just want to say. He didn't vote. After all that, and after all the defense of so many people gave to Colin Kaepernick, he didn't vote, and he does a lot of great stuff. This is a guy who's bought suits for unemployed black men to go to job interviews. Like, I have a lot of praise to give Colin Kaepernick, and the NFL treated him disgustingly, but he didn't vote. He let Donald Trump pick all the judges who will always side with the police over the accused. He let Trump cut services for poor people. He let Trump ramp up the drug war. He let Trump expand for-profit prisons. When you don't show up to vote, you're voting for Trump. And you're voting to let Trump do those things. And maybe you didn't love Hillary Clinton, but those of us who did everything we could to stop Trump are allowed to have critiques of you who didn't do everything you could do. And again, Colin, I love you. I'll have you on the podcast or on SiriusXM anytime. But if this man who's done so many good things, but seriously, if he's that upset over slavery, why are you taking money from Nike? And here's one more thing, okay? The right-wing guys freaking out about this. Why didn't you have the original Betsy Ross flag? Shouldn't right-wing guys be freaking out that the flag is on a sneaker in the first place? The code says you're not supposed to put the flag on clothing. And also, if this could turn into a national dialogue over corporate subsidies, that'd be fun for conservative voters to know how much of their money's being given away to places like Nike. Let's start with Exxon, shall we? Finally, Jeffrey Epstein. I take this story to be incredibly positive, because for years we heard about, oh, there's billionaires who have pedophile rings, and we thought, oh, you crazy lefties with your conspiracy theories. This proves it. He was indicted for a pyramid scheme of pedophilia, and the allegations are that some girls were as young as 14, and you probably know this, the mandatory minimum is different for 14 and 16. It goes up to a 15-year mandatory minimum. Of course, what do we hear about Jeffrey Epstein? We know Donald Trump was best buddies with him, said he's a lot of fun to be around, terrific guy. We know that they both once had a party at Mar-a-Lago with 28 girls that were flown in, and just those two guys, which obviously means we got to hear about Bill Clinton. There's a lie that Bill Clinton flew to Roman Polanski Island 26 times. It's not true. Bill Clinton did put out a statement about the amount of times he had met Epstein and how he had flown on the plane, but to places in Europe. Epstein did give money to the Clinton Foundation because the Clinton Foundation does good stuff. The Trump Foundation was a money laundering racket and dissolved by the Attorney General of New York because they were corrupt. That's what the family does. But here's the deal. Neither Bill Clinton nor Donald Trump were implicated, so far, in Epstein's new alleged crimes. But there's a big difference. If Bill Clinton was found to have abused girls with Jeffrey Epstein, his base would reject him forever. If Donald Trump was found to have abused underage girls with Jeffrey Epstein, his base would reject the findings. And you guys got to remember, it's great that Alex Acosta resigned after giving a sweetheart deal to this pedophile that allowed the pedophile to leave jail 16 hours a day. But evangelicals, and ask your right-wing loved ones this one, Trump expressed more public sympathy for Alex Acosta, who illegally gave Epstein a slap on the wrist, than he's expressed for Epstein's rape victims. And Donald Trump has also criticized his own accuser's looks more than he's criticized Epstein's rapes. All right, I feel dirty. Here's five pieces of good news really quick. Number five, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill this month that permits the state to release Donald Trump's tax returns. They have cleared the last hurdle for the release of his state taxes because a president shouldn't be able to hide from the people where he gets his money. Number four, over in the UK, they have cured a form of bladder cancer with the common cold virus. Yeah, of course, it was never repeated anywhere in the news. It's really positive. Number three, a guy fell off Niagara Falls. He climbed the fence to get a better look, fell off the falls, plunged 180 feet down, and lived. Number two, an elderly woman was given a wallet she had lost in junior high school. It was returned to her after 75 years. And number one, Ringo Starr just turned 79 years old. He is the oldest Beatle. He launched his first ever solo career with the All-Star Band 30 years ago this summer. That was a legendary band, which had like Clarence Clemons and Nils Lofgren of the E Street Band and Levon Helm and Rick Danko of the Band and Joe Walsh and Dr. John and Billy Preston. A great, great tour. Ringo has done live shows for years. I have issues with his set list. I'd like him to be a bit cooler and hipper, but he's a lot of fun. He's given tons to charity, and he was the first Beatle. He was the first to have a number one album, but Ringo had two number one singles before John Lennon ever had his first. Now it's time for a little segment we call Master Debater, where I run through some debate points when you are dealing with the trolls or your loved ones or that coworker with the bald eagle wallpaper fetish. And I want to talk really quickly about the immigration controversy, the ICE raids, and the xenophobia. And wasn't it funny watching Mike Pence go to that concentration camp? I know, we're not fighting over the concentration camps. We're fighting over whether we should call them concentration camps. Don't do that. They're not concentration camps. They're camps where people are concentrated. And Mike Pence goes there, and whew, boy, that awkward moment when Mike Pence finally sees sweaty men in cages, and it's nothing like all those fantasies he's buried. So really quick, I'm going to run through 25 points super quick. Write them down if you need to. You'll need it sometime in a debate. Number one, the most important thing to remember about immigration. If American politicians really wanted undocumented immigration to end, they would start locking up the Americans who hire them. The demand for cheap undocumented labor would swiftly end. But they never talk about that because they're not serious about it. There is a giant help wanted sign in our border, and no one has talked about taking it down. That's how you know they don't mean anything they say about illegals. And I'll get to that term in a second. Number two, hundreds of thousands. Pew estimates it's half a million undocumented immigrants or people who overstay their visas, not illegal border crossings. Politicians don't talk about this, but Pew Research Center estimates it's up to 500,000 unauthorized immigrants from Europe here in the States. And you won't be hearing about that because it doesn't get out the vote. Zero white undocumented immigrants have had their children taken away with no plans or system to ever return them. Number three, this is important, undocumented immigrants commit crimes at lower rates than American-born citizens. Legal immigrants also commit crimes at lower rates than American-born citizens. Why? Fear of deportation. Number four, undocumented immigrants pay state, local, and sales taxes, over $11 billion in 2016. And when legal immigrants arrive here as adults, we don't have to pay for their education, so they can start paying into our Social Security system right away. Immigration is good. Number five, President Ronald Reagan supported amnesty. He used that word, and he argued that open borders allow them to return home when they're done working here. Yeah, Reagan said this. Number six, illegals is a racist, dehumanizing, otherizing term. It is unchristian. It is hypocritical. Dude, if you drive 56 in a 55 zone, aren't you an illegal? If you don't agree with this, count how many other types of lawbreakers, non-brown lawbreakers, Fox News calls illegals. Have you ever heard Fox call Jeffrey Epstein an illegal? Number 7, Donald Trump's an illegal. $25 million fine he had to pay for education fraud with his scam online university alone. And I don't really need to say this, but there's more illegality to come. Number 8, politicians don't try to punish people who give jobs to undocumented workers, driving down supply of jobs, because fear of Central American and Mexican immigrants and asylum seekers gets massive votes and campaign donations. It's a racket. Number 9, from slavery to Chinese railroad workers to the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory to today's overseas sweatshops, exploited labor by marginalized peoples has always propped up the American economy. Without illegal immigration, you would pay $70 for a salad. And I realize salads don't apply to Donald Trump and many of his followers. Number 10, Donald Trump hires undocumented workers in two different centuries, going back to the 80s with the undocumented Polish construction workers who built his hideous tower on Fifth Avenue. Friends, the same people who exploit undocumented labor also exploit fear of the undocumented. You're being suckered by very rich hypocrites. Number 11, no national Democratic politicians have called for any legislation or policies that could ever lead to open borders. It's important. Any politician or media figure who says they're fighting for open borders is a liar. The Bible calls it bearing false witness. Number 12, they're never going to build a wall, guys. They're never going to build a wall across thousands of miles of deserts and rivers and forests, private and commercial property, while forcing Americans to give up their land under eminent domain law. Wall fans are arguing for big government to seize private American property. Throw that in their face. Number 13, the wall would not stop undocumented immigration if it ever did get built. Ladders and shovels are things that will still exist, and so will America's giant help wanted sign. Number 14, people who support policies of stealing migrant children from their parents with no plans to give them back are legally still allowed to call themselves Christian. They are not. 15, America has crumbling roads and bridges and a deliberately underfunded public school system and neglected infrastructure, a totally underfunded VA, and a guy who's hired undocumented workers wants billions to keep undocumented workers from coming here for work. It's a scam. 16, Donald Trump promised his supporters Mexico would pay for the wall. He promised you MAGA many times, and now he wants you to pay for his own broken promise. And the majority of voters in 2016 rejected it, 74 million total between Hillary and third parties versus Trump's 62 million. They rejected it again in the 2018 midterms. 17, the majority of Americans do oppose the wall. They know it's expensive and it's bigoted, it's stupid, it's not going to work. And the majority of Americans don't hate America. 18, undocumented immigration had dropped to a 18-year low. There was no crisis when Trump took office. 19, Donald Trump didn't pay federal taxes for years. He bragged about it in debates. He committed tax fraud to avoid paying the taxes that you paid, which now he seeks to misuse. 20, fear of illegals is a scam designed to get alarmed Fox News viewers to vote for an agenda centered on more tax cuts for very rich people who don't need tax cuts. 21, if you don't like our drug wars, refugees from Central America coming to the border seeking asylum, then stop supporting the freaking drug war. Right? Right? I did shows for the military in El Salvador and Honduras. We have military bases there for the drug war. Number 22, let's go to Jesus. Undocumented himself as a young man growing up in Alexandria, hiding from the government. Matthew 25, which modern right-wing Christians need to read. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. 23, Pope Francis. On the camps, these least ones are abandoned and cheated into dying in the desert. These least ones are tortured, abused, and violated in detention camps. These least ones face the waves of an unforgiving sea. These least ones are left in reception camps too long for them to be called temporary. That's the freaking Pope, yo! 24, every American heritage goes into four categories: indigenous, slave, refugee, or immigrant. Which one are you? And finally, 25, the most important thing. I never liked calling people illegal immigrants, and for years I called them undocumented workers. I'm trying to stop that now. They're Christian refugees. They're all Christians. And with these ICE raids, it's going to be Christians rounding up Christians. Don't let the fake Christians forget it. Okay, now it's time for Inspiration Nation. Quick little segment we do of music and books and films and good cultural stuff that will keep you sane. Keep a playlist going. Go back and listen to every episode, and you'll hear all the songs that I've recommended and some of my friends have recommended, just to help you chill out when it seems like the crazies are running the asylum. And it's Ringo Starr's birthday. He's 79, so go with it, Don't Come Easy, which is still a great song. Remember, he had two solo number ones before John had his first. And if you're a real geek like me, go on YouTube and listen to George Harrison's original demo track of It Don't Come Easy. It's amazing. They sing Hare Krishna in it, but it's still a great song. Okay, Lauryn Hill. Obviously, Miss Hill is a queen. Miss Education is still a great album, but if you're down, put this on your playlist. Everything is Everything. And check out the music video, one of the best videos of all time, where in New York City is a turntable being played. It's gorgeous looking. I also want to recommend Mavis Staples, who's done my radio show, the great gospel singer from the Staples family. I've seen her live. She just turned 80 years old. Bob Dylan once proposed to her, and she did a couple of wonderful albums where the songs were written and produced by Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. Check out the record One True Vine. Even if you're not a big gospel fan, trust me on this. Her voice is all you need to know about soul, and it's wonderful. And I'm going to recommend a Beatles song because I had Danny Boyle on my show on Sirius. He, of course, made Trainspotting, and he directed the new Beatles film yesterday, which is very nice. It's a Beatles film your mom will love. And we had the screenwriter on and the star, Amish Patel, and we were talking about the most underrated Beatles songs. And they asked me, and I said, It's All Too Much by George Harrison, which a lot of people don't know because it's not on any Beatles albums except Yellow Submarine. Yellow Submarine has like three endings if you see the movie. It's a great movie, but It's All Too Much is, for me, the most underrated Beatles songs ever. If it had been released a few months earlier on Sgt. Pepper's, it would be considered a classic, and Pepper would be an even better film. You want to get inspired? Check out this new film on Netflix, The Black Godfather. It is amazing. It's done by Reginald Hudlund, and it is about the music industry and every cool song by an African-American artist you have heard in the last 40 years. Reginald Hudlund came on my show to talk about it, and it's amazing. The Black Godfather on Netflix. It'll really inspire you. Now it's time for Ask a Trump Defender, where I give you a list of questions you can bring to your Trump-defending loved ones and just try and get them to give you a straight answer. You ready? Can you point to one positive and uplifting thing this administration has done on a policy level? In the slogan, Make America Great Again, when exactly in U.S. history does the again part refer to? What will your stand be, Trump supporter, if Trump is found to have beyond a doubt broken the law or broken several laws? Do you find it at all troubling that he lied to you for months about the Stormy Daniels payments? Has your church ever expressed how you should vote? Should they give up their tax-exempt status if the answer was yes? Can you name one thing about Vladimir Putin that you like? Did you know Robert Mueller is a Republican? Would you lend Donald Trump all the money you have in savings if he promised to pay you back in 1 year with interest? And finally, what was the last book you read? Again, write them down. Go to the Ask a Trump Defender hashtag on Twitter to collect more. And finally, moving on really, really quick, I have a couple of upcoming gigs, and I want to thank everybody who came to the celebrity autobiography shows I did on Long Island and in New York City. It's a really funny show that I do. It pops up all over the country. It's been on Broadway. A lot of great artists do it, and it's actors reading actual excerpts from real memoirs of real famous people. And I've gotten to read Kenny Loggins, which is hilarious. I was just doing the show with Susan Lucci, who is dynamite and gorgeous, and we were reading from a combination mashup of Elizabeth Taylor's memoir, Debbie Reynolds' memoir, and Eddie Fisher's memoir. I got to be Richard Burton opposite Susan Lucci's Liz Taylor. Yeah, my life peaked. And like Ralph Macchio did it, Rachel Dratch, who's just the funniest woman in the world. So thanks to everybody who came to those shows. I just did a special with David Crosby and Cameron Crowe for SiriusXM. It's going to be airing around the month on SiriusXM Insight and SiriusXM Volume Channel, which is an all-talk channel about music. It's the coolest thing ever. There's a new movie called David Crosby, Remember My Name, directed by A.J. Eaton, the guy's first movie, and it's got a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And Cameron Crowe produced it. And it is a movie about Crosby's life, his artistry, his music, his struggles, his strife, and his drama. It's a movie about a great guy who could not control his anger and lost all of his friends. But try to catch it if you're a SiriusXM subscriber. All right, I'm going to be playing stand-up in Beacon, New York at Dogwoods on July 25th. I'm going to be at the Broadway Comedy Club in New York on the 28th of July, and I'm doing a very special headlining show at the Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland on August 2nd. That I'm excited for. It's already starting to sell out, so please come on down. It's a Friday night. I'm thrilled about that show, and it's going to be a riot. There will be Trump supporters there. I love playing to Trump supporters. I make them love me. Come and let me show you. Couple of emails from the listeners. I really like that you guys are liking the podcast. I'm so grateful. I'm new at this. God bless Stephanie Miller for having embarrassing photos and making me do this. But you can write me anytime on my Facebooks or my Twitters. There's a lot of Facebooks I have. Long story, or johnfuglesang.com, which also is where I have a cool merch store for resistance swag. All my stuff is free shipping, and unlike Donald and Ivanka, my shit is all 100% made in America. Tammy Wright writes in, you're great, been a fan. What channel can I find your show on Sirius? It's channel 121. It's called Insight, and it's a fun show. It's like one-third political talk, one-third interviews with authors and artists and newsmakers, and one-third comedians sitting around telling tasteless jokes. In the last couple of weeks, we've had Mira Sorvino, Reginald Hudlin, Rosie O'Donnell just did the show again, Jackie Weaver, who's a two-time Oscar nominee, Roger McGuinn of the Byrds, Jesse Eisenberg, who was nominated for Best Actor for The Social Network, J.B. Smoove just came on to talk about the Spider-Man movie, Kathy Griffin just came back and did the show, so do check that out. Joy Wise writes, John, loved your recent post about Trump. You might want to add another item. Trump lied, told troops he gave them health care options outside of the VA, the CHOICE program. That program was in effect 2 years or so before he started taking credit for it. I know this is true because I worked for the health care company that administered the CHOICE program for the government. Joy, thank you. I actually mentioned that earlier in the show, but I decided to keep your letter anyway because we have to remember he lied to the troops. And just like the unemployment rates, Donald Trump is taking credit for work done by a black man. Guys, thank you. I love doing this show. We have some great guests coming up. I'm going back to doing guests, and I will be releasing a lot more of these in rapid succession to make up for the weeks I was sick. Don't tell anybody I have mono. It is a drag. Remember, if you're willing to overlook rules of common decency, rules of marital fidelity, tax laws, employment of undocumented workers, oversight of any kind, if you're going to overlook the press holding politicians accountable or ethics rules or the emoluments clause or any law he doesn't like, dude, you're not a Trump loyalist. You're a wife on cops. And remember, Samuel Adams said, if ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. He's talking about you. Thanks for listening. Be back soon. This is a production of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Lee Papa, host of AGD Podcast with the Rude Pundit. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week I talk about politics and interview funny, fascinating, and filthy people. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.